My mates went, don't worry about it, Paul. All publicity is good publicity. No, it's not. There are two things you don't want to look like in this world. One's a terrorist and the other one's a paedophile. What would you rather look like, Dave? Let me help you out, mate. You don't look like a terrorist.
Okay, interesting place to start. But Dave, don't worry, you're not the only one he punked.
Sorry, and before I continue, how do you identify?
He, him.
I'm surprised. I didn't realize.
Who invited you here? All right, I admit it. We did invite him. And after spending some time here, he was actually happy that he came.
And I don't even know who I am. This is why I do what I do. So, but I was hoping Pulse would help me find my
pulse. We're going to work on that.
I don't even know if I have a pulse.
He's an international superstar selling out arenas worldwide. I could honestly introduce him, but not nearly as well as he introduces himself.
Hey, it's Paul Chowdhury. I'm here on Pulse with Bill Anderson.
Guys, welcome to another episode of The Pulse. By now, you know the drill. Cool people doing things, sharing stories, and interesting stories. And we've got another individual who falls into that category. What should we call you? Star? You know, superstar comedian, selling out stadiums all over the world, global phenom. Where do you want to go with this?
We can start with one of them.
Yeah. And keep going.
Living legend.
All right.
Mythology. Urban myth.
Paul Chowdhury.
That's another way of calling it.
That's the name. Yeah. We'll work through all the titles.
We'll try the titles.
Appreciate you coming in.
Thank you, Bill. What an honor and a pleasure it is to be here on Pulse. I'm a big fan of the show. I've been watching it for many years. Pulse is my favorite show. You seem to keep your finger on it.
It's crazy that I'm laughing at you clowning my show. It's my favorite show. I'm like, no, it's not.
I would never clown your show.
You've got jokes.
Bill, I would never clown Pulse.
So you are, but thank you. We appreciate
everyone has one.
Right? See? That's we're
I
trying
see what
to
you did with the
phenoms.
Title. Everyone has one.
Yeah.
So everyone's got their finger on it.
Well, not everyone has their finger on
no.
it.
No. You only we. Bill. Bill has his finger on the Pulse.
We.
Which
yeah.
is why you know
not.
Me. Yeah. How do you know who I am? This is why I know that you're...
Because you're a global phenom.
Thank you, sir.
International superstar. All right. So you're on tour. We were just talking before we got started. Yeah. You're like 50 places in like 3 weeks. So
yeah.
Where have you been so far?
Oh, I've been Hollywood, Seattle, literally all over the States, San Fran, Chicago. Just come back from Canada, landed here for this. I don't sleep much.
No, apparently.
I just get up. Get on stages. I'm like a performing monkey almost. I just get up on stages and do my thing.
Or you people just sleep really on private jets.
I wish I was at that level that I could sleep on a private jet, but it's more like American Airlines.
Okay. You get the emergency exit row.
Yeah, they
That's
give me
my
the emergency
hack.
Exit.
Yeah, get the emergency exit row.
So you get out quicker?
You get out quicker and you got more space. I'm not going to get out quicker. You mean in the case of an emergency?
In case of an emergency. So if you get out first, you got more chance of survival.
But I signed up for I'm going to help everybody else get out. That's what they make you do when you sit in the emergency exit.
That's true. I'm glad that I don't really get those seats too often because of the way I look.
I mean, look at how I look. They trusted me.
Yeah, you're kind of less without the beard. You look a little bit
I'm
more
less
friendly.
Threatening.
A bit more friendly to white people. This is not the good look to have. At an emergency exit.
It's a TV thing. We're just going off on all kinds of tangents, which is awesome. It is a TV stereotype that if you are the African-American news anchor, then you're allowed to have this much facial hair. It's got to be neatly groomed. You can't full-on aggressive beard.
Because you got a good fro.
Hello, but it's just because I need a haircut.
Yeah, good,
but
right?
Thanks for noticing. Like, we normally go ahead and keep it tighter fade.
You almost look a bit Indian, almost.
Well, then I'm definitely not going to get the emergency exit row.
Kind of Sri Lankan look.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Ah, so we're like brothers.
Well, I'm Indian, so. But you kind of, we're similar in complexion.
Okay.
So, but you don't have, you got a very friendly face.
I'm less threatening.
Yeah, you got a very, rounded face.
Yeah.
You're less threatening to
white people
of more melatonin and, more. What do they have? They have more melatonin, right?
Let's talk about why
less
you're
melatonin.
Here. So you're on tour. Tell us about what we're going to say. So the show is actually called AI.
Yeah.
But artificial Indian.
Well, because It was actually a different title in the UK. So I toured it all over the UK, Ireland, O2 Arena, but all these arenas in the UK. And then when I decided to call it Englandia for America, they didn't. A lot of people in America don't know that there are other countries outside of America, because this is the world, right? Yeah. But I don't know if you know about this, but outside of America, there are other countries.
I've heard.
One of them's called England.
Okay.
Right? And I think at the moment, Greenland might be taken over by... So we might become American soon.
Okay.
If Greenland gets taken over by your great country, your great president. I can only say so much because I want to keep my visa.
You just got talking about, finished talking about how I am non-threatening and acceptable. And now you're trying to put me on the whole list of people that you've made your way into.
Well, you know, and I can't remember my point now.
That we didn't know why you changed the name.
Oh, I changed the name because it was called Englandia because my family are from India and I was born in England, Englandia, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, except I had to change that for Ireland because the Irish don't like England much either because of the history between Ireland and England. And then America didn't really know where England was. They know where Leicester Square is, but that's about it. And they think I'm from London, which is a country, and London isn't a country, it's the capital of England.
Mm.
So I decided to call it Artificial Indian because also they don't understand when I walk up on stages with this accent.
Why does he have like a British accent?
Because I was born in London, mate. Like Guy Ritchie and all that, you know what I mean? Apples and pears, stairs. Do you know what I mean? I'm a proper geezer.
So there are two people off camera, right? Yeah. One of them is my producer, who's from Poland.
Jak się masz?
I'm
cinquenta.
No idea what you're talking about. The other is our director, who is also, I was explaining to you, much more worldly and informed with all the different things. So they're just sitting over there having a blast.
They're having a good time.
Yeah, and I'm trying to go, wait, London, they're the same place? London and England?
London and England is a similar place.
Yeah, I've
actually,
read it.
London, UK is just a tiny bit bigger than New York State. It's tiny, the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you come from the great, the United States of America. You guys were very united. We were called Great Britain. And now you're trying to steal the great and make it America great again. Where it's never great, it was always united, right? Whereas we were always great. So can you give us our great back?
And once again, the camera shot in him, I go, he's hilarious. And I still got a mortgage, so I really would like to stay employed. But seriously, when you're going through that process, you had to change the name.
Mm.
Like, you're on tour, you're doing those things. Is that really a thought process? Like, I have to adjust the show
adjust
for where I'm
show.
Going.
Anywhere you go. I had to adjust my voice, because they don't expect an Indian guy to have this voice. My actual real accent is, hello, good to meet you, Bill. Honored to be here. That's my actual voice, but this is my fake voice.
Okay, but why are you using that fake voice here?
Because I want to be on TV in America.
Okay, and so we embrace that.
Hello, everybody. This is Fox Pulse, Bill Henderson. Good to be here today on the Fox channel, Bill. That would have got me a lot more work.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any openings on your show? Because I might need a job.
You can open for me?
Yeah?
Bill, I think
I'm not that funny.
Me and you look like a before and after. Like, if I shaved off my beard, I would look like you.
All right. So, how did you...
I used to look like
my
you.
Questions.
I looked like you when I was your age.
Did you? All right. How did you get into this?
I've been doing this for like 25, 26 years now, man.
Okay.
You know, since I was your age, actually. I've been doing stand-up all over the world, different countries. But the visa situation was a bit harder to get into America and work if you're British.
It was a bit harder before?
Now.
Oh, all right.
So, and I have a visa, so you get a working visa. It's called O-1. It's an alien of extraordinary ability.
So all right.
You got to get references from TV people, producers. It takes a long time. And then if they accept you, you're allowed in this united great country. And
okay.
What an honor. What camera are we on?
What's that?
What camera am I looking at?
That right there.
What an honor it is to be here in the United States of America, Philadelphia. Thank you for welcoming me.
That's good work by you.
And I love it here in Philadelphia. I grew up to all your movies.
Mm. You just told me before we got started, you've never been here before, had
no
I've
never
real
been
association.
Here. But West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground That's where
that's that TV show
was such a big show in the UK.
Yeah, Fresh Prince.
He was a superstar.
Okay, you know Rocky?
Yeah, I do. He did everything for Apollo. I do for Apollo, you know.
And then Apollo's son.
And then his son and his
You know, on a side note, he came back and wanted his statue back.
Really?
Did you hear about that? So there's a statue on the top of the art museum.
Yeah.
There was the original one that was in the movie, Rocky III.
Yeah.
And then there was a replica. So we had two of them. A couple months ago, Sylvester Stallone decided, after donating it to the city like 30 years ago, he wants his statue back.
He wants it back. Yeah. He wants to put it in his garden.
He's like, I want my statue back. It was a whole thing. So we gave him back the replica.
Give me back the statue.
We're keeping the statue. It was the right thing.
I never knew what you said. But it was good. It was
nobody knew
great
what
actor.
Said.
One of the best actors America's ever produced. Used to be in adult movies before he got that. And then he actually sold his dog to make that movie.
Rocky?
Yeah.
His dog?
Stallone sold his own dog because he couldn't get the movie financed. And then he sold his... And then when he made enough money, he bought his dog back.
So what, did he make the movie for like $70?
Something
what
like
kind
that.
Of
the
dog
first
did
Rocky,
he sell?
He had his little dog and then he sold it here in Philly somewhere.
Brilliant. You had to figure it out.
I want my dog back.
When you started doing...
The statue is like his dog. He wants the statue
He wants
back.
It back. Yeah. Probably going to sell it. I don't know. I think he's got money. When you started the tour, you said you've been doing this for 20 some odd years.
Quarter of a century, man.
Continuing to do it. When was the moment when you were like, wow, this is big? Like, you sold out O2. Like, you're selling out arenas. And that was that when it was like, I'm kind of a big deal?
Well, actually, the arenas and that's kind of a side thing. To whatever you get as a comedian, I'm just happy for people to be stood in front. I'm just happy for you to be here listening to me right now. You know, just to have an audience is great. But when you go from playing... So you start off in the UK, you do like 5 minutes, and then if you do well, they give you 10 minutes, and then you do 20 minutes, and then you get to the hour, and then you get to the special. But you don't know how many people are going to be into your stuff, right? But now I'm playing the same venues as Usher. I was sharing the O2 Arena with Usher. He had my dressing room that week.
This is a real story.
Yeah, I'm not making this up. Madonna had the same room that I had.
So that's impressive.
Actually, Michael Jackson was going to use that as his residency. Right. So when they took the stage down, they took my stage up, they put it up, and then Usher was using the same. But I didn't catch anything. We did use the same toilet, so I didn't catch anything, because I know Usher is being sued because he didn't divulge certain STDs, but nothing took place between me and Usher, and I didn't even sit on the toilet. So Usher, otherwise I would have taken legal action against Usher.
But it was a big deal.
It was a big deal. I didn't catch anything from Usher. If I caught something from Usher, if I caught a venereal disease from Usher, I'm sorry, we can't go down that road. So.
I don't know Usher.
But
do what you feel like. You
know. He's being sued, right?
Probably yes. I'm
not
aware.
You got your finger on the pulse.
Not about Usher.
You got the finger.
He won't come on the show, and he's definitely not going
to
come on now.
If I can ask him if he wants to have a chat with me, we sell the same numbers in the UK.
It's a valid point. You know, international superstars.
Well, yeah, but I don't serenade women and bring them up on stage and try and kiss them and stuff. So,
no, maybe you should.
But hopefully, if things go well, me and you could become. You could be like my backing singer.
Okay, I can do that.
Yeah.
I open for you?
Yeah.
Or just come out on stage every now and then and with like hold up the sign that says laugh or applaud or whatever.
You remember that song Pony?
Yeah. Genuine.
You look like Genuine.
He was here. He actually came on the show.
Really? What did he say?
We talked for a while. Yeah. Genuine, good people. He's much more chill now. He's lived his life now.
I think he's very genuine.
So, what did it feel like when you're building, you're having a steady career, you're doing amazing things, and then you're selling out, as you said, joking aside, selling out the same stadiums that other international superstars are performing in?
Oh, it's incredible. You don't realize that you're sharing that. I'm there on my own on that stage, right?
Yeah.
These people have big productions, and there's all these rooms they have, their singers, their dancers, and it's just me with a mic. I've got one of these. That's it. I walk in with a microphone and I walk out. And there's these huge dressing rooms and I'm just sat there doing nothing for the show. So it's at Wembley Arena.
Yeah.
Mariah Carey played that place. I actually work. I told this story on TV here, where I dismantled her stage when I was a kid at college, and then I sold out the same room that she was in eventually.
Really?
Yeah.
These are cool stories.
Yeah, you know.
Like the one thing I can probably mildly relate to. Okay, so I went to the Jennifer Hudson show to interview her for our 100th episode.
Right.
And when I came in, they, because they were just being nice, they treated me like I was an actual guest of the show. So when I came in there, they took me backstage and the big dressing room, and I had all the snacks and everything in there. My name was on the dressing room. And it was similar, I guess, to what you're saying. I'm kind of sitting there like, this is cool. Now what?
Well, I think they were probably big fans of yours, Bill.
No.
I mean, you're a very influential person in this country.
I thought so.
You can make and break people.
We sat down, and she's like, Bob, thanks so much for coming. She's like, I love your show. And I was like,
she called you Bob.
I appreciate it. No, I know. Jennifer Hudson was great. I don't think she knew who I was, but she was great.
Yeah, Jennifer, she was just in the UK doing big shows.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, same arena?
Same arena as me. We share the same dressing room, but she's very different to Usher. She doesn't carry anything that we need to be aware of.
Okay, so it's safer.
She's much safer.
To share the dressing room. When you're doing the tour and you're talking about various things, and we're joking about, you know, presidents and politics and immigration, and do you have to consider that, or do you just go all in, I'm going to say what I think is funny?
Well, comedy is a very endangered art form as we speak, especially in areas like the UK, where if you say the wrong thing, it can affect your career. I would never tread... I'm a very family-friendly type of comedian. As you've noticed from my demeanor and persona, and even what I've discussed here, I would never... I would always tread on the line of being able to perform to any family.
Absolutely.
Any gender. Mm. And anyone that would accept me.
Why did you say any gender and point to me?
Because I didn't know how you identify. Because I didn't want to. Because you don't know these days.
Like any gender and then point to me. Like,
because I don't know how
some confusion.
Because you said Bill, right?
Yes.
But you didn't say what your gender was. So that's why nowadays you can't say. I couldn't say
sir.
So
you have to like put it up on the screen. Said, it's like Bill, he, him.
I said sir. And then you said, sorry, why did you call me sir? I'm a they other, and then I would have been in trouble. So that's the climate we live in, Bill. Mm-hmm. You can identify as a he, him, they other. Sorry, and before I continue, how do you identify?
A he, him.
I'm surprised. I didn't realize.
Who invited you here? So clearly, in putting together the shows and whatnot, I mean, and in seriousness, comedy, your first point that comedy is on some levels under attack, and what you can say, you know, is often challenged. You clearly are not letting that shape your presentation.
But you've seen, I'm tread on the line of caution. Because I check with everyone and you just exactly how I should address people, but people get offended. And
I mean, I get it. I'm borderline offended. So I understand.
And I'm offended that people are offended. Okay. So where does the offense stop?
So it's a vicious cycle.
I go on marches and say, you know, keep my comedy alive. and what an honor it is to be here on Martin Luther King Day. This is a huge honor for me.
Why are we both working?
We're brown.
Martin Luther King Day.
Nowadays, we're allowed to be employed.
Yeah.
20 years ago, I wouldn't be on a station like this. I learned about Martin Luther King actually a lot more and about the tensions through Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing and a lot of his movies. And that would be infiltrating into the UK culture. And I grew up to a lot of those movies. And, you know, American culture is very heavily influencing British culture now. You know, and that's what I grew up to. But, you know, and that's when I got my first Jordans and things like that through Spike Lee. So big shout out to Spike Lee on this show.
Who also has not come on the show.
He never comes on?
Nah. Never. He has not come on.
Have you asked
him? There's like whole walls of people who have come on. And you know, the people that you seem to be closest with are people who won't come.
These are all my friends.
Yeah? So after the show, we're going to have to get your contact. Your people are here.
Yeah, my
can
people
we get
are here.
The connection?
We can hook this up.
She's giving thumbs up. Artificial Indian. What are we going to see when we see this show?
What you're going to see, this is going to change your religious beliefs.
Okay.
See, what I do in shows is not just stand-up comedy, but it takes people's mindset to another dimension. When you leave the show, you won't enter the show with the same person that you left. You'll actually, not only will you laugh, but you'll question your life's decisions and who you are. as a they, their mother. And then you'll leave and think, I've now improved my life. I can now go on to be who I really wanted to be in my life. Mm. And if that doesn't work and people want to get a refund, no refunds are available, but you could just write me a message in one of the social media platforms.
And you're going to be out of town anyway. Is that why you've scheduled so many trips? So you do the show and you're already in another city when they want the refund?
As soon as I walk off stage, you know, Elvis used to walk into his car. Elvis has left the building.
Right.
Whereas I just get into a plane and I fly out just in case there is any complaints.
In case there's any complaints.
Yeah. So as soon as I'm off stage in Philly, I'm straight out.
Just okay.
I'm actually staying right next. I live in airports.
Yeah.
In terminals.
Yeah. The airport's nowhere near where you're performing here in Philly. Nowhere near. So you got a long trip.
I got a long drive
from the Kimmel Center to get back to the airport.
Yeah, the Jimmy Kimmel Center. What a great center it is. Jimmy Kimmel, he's done so well, he's even got his own centers now.
Yeah, but just in Philly.
Yeah.
That's another person who has not come on the show.
Jimmy Kimmel doesn't come on.
No, we've like created a list. Can we put like checks every time you say somebody who won't come on the show?
See, now I've done this show, I think everybody else is going to come on it.
Do you think that's how?
I think that's how it works.
So fun fact, and I keep sharing stories because we're like brothers now, and I'm your opening act, and we're out there. That actually happened, you know. And we had people who told us no, and then they were like, "Can I say names?" So Tracy Morgan
really
was like, "Nah, I don't think we're going to be able to make it." And then we sent them the episode because Sarah Silverman had just been here, and they were like, "Oh, Sarah Silverman was just there? Okay." And there were other people who told us no, and then we sent them Jennifer Hudson. Mm. And it's like, so you give us credibility.
This will give you an international reach now.
Okay.
The people you'll probably get Pierce Brosnan on here. Mm. Tom Hardy might jump on next.
Okay.
All these people, you know, Guy Ritchie.
I'm hearing people off camera going, ooh,
yeah, Tom Hardy. Yeah, all these people are going to jump on this show now. I can speak to my management. Brad Pitt will probably come on the show now.
Really?
I have a link.
Yeah?
I have links.
Are you guys same management?
Same management.
Really?
Same management.
Wow, you're big time.
So we can speak.
Okay.
I did Cruella with Emma Stone. I can make a call.
Okay.
A couple of big movies.
Yeah.
You know, Kevin Hart. I actually used to work with Kevin Hart in the UK on the black circuit before he became a household name in America.
So Kevin Hart's from Philly and won't come on the show.
Because he used to live with a friend of mine called Patrice O'Neill.
Patrice O'Neill passed away.
Patrice passed away a while ago, but he was a friend of mine. So when he first used to come to the UK, I became friends with him. So every time we did the black shows, and I did all shows in New York, Chocolate Sundays in LA, I knew him from way back in the day. So he used to live with Kevin.
Yeah.
And then Kevin came to the UK, so I knew Kevin. And then Dave Chappelle used to come. And the first time he was in hiding after the debacle with Comedy Central, he came to the UK and I was one of his openers. So then I knew Stan Latham through then, since like 2007. So Chappelle, let me just make a couple of calls.
As much fun as this conversation is, you really do have you're living a really kind of fun and intriguing, and the 6 degrees of
separation. Everyone knows someone that knows someone.
Yeah, but you know someone who knows everyone.
Kevin Hart, I get on very well. I'm surprised he hasn't come on the show. I need to reach out. He's got his own production. He's done very well in his career.
Okay, he's doing okay.
I haven't seen what he's done lately, but he's, you know. Yeah. And then Chris Rock.
Yeah, you and Chris Rock are cool too?
I don't know about cool, you know, but
you're aware of who he is.
I think Chris Rock, the relationship with me and Chris Rock, he'd probably slap me.
Mm.
That's where I am.
Okay, so y'all in the food not chain. So cool.
Yeah, he'd probably slap me. So I talk to him now and again when I see him. I first performed with him in 2001, June, in New York. You know, that was when I first came to New York to do shows. And, you know, his career has gone on to huge... And that link, we go back to Philly because West Philadelphia, born and raised, is where Will Smith was from.
Do you know Will Smith?
Will Smith's career is in an interesting place right now.
Okay.
I'm getting better bookings than Will Smith now. Would you have Will Smith on this show?
Absolutely.
You know, because, you know, he's been through some troubles.
He's had some challenges.
He's had some very... he's now seen as the victim when he was the guy that slapped somebody in the face. So as a comedian, we kind of got to defend our family of comedians.
Getting That's slapped just a in the rule. Face. Right.
It's just a rule of no violence on comedy. If you're saying that at Parliament, or if you're a member of power and you're saying these things, you've got an issue. But as comedians, anything goes on stage.
I have no idea what we have accomplished during this interview, but I appreciate you spending this much time. Tell people again. So you're on tour. Go what? Follow you on social media.
I'm on all the social media pages. I'm on, you know, what are you on? Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Snapchat.
I'll tag you so I can TikTok. Piggyback your fame. Maybe some people will follow me too.
I'm also an OnlyFans model. So if you like me during the show, Bill, just
I don't know that
$59.99 a year. You can see
I don't know if I've
here.
Ever sat down with somebody who I'm literally not sure when they're telling me the truth or when they're sitting there joking. Because I don't think you're being serious, but it wouldn't shock me if somebody comes back and is like, no, he's got a comedy OnlyFans page. But
this is the world we live in. And I don't even know who I am. This is why I do what I do, because I'm trying to discover who I am, and I've been doing it for a quarter of a century, and I still don't know who I am, Bill. So, but I was hoping Pulse would help me find my
We're going to work on that.
I don't even know if I have a Pulse.
We got you. I
would love to come back on the show, man.
I would love to have you
back on
the show.
I would fly all the way back to America just to do your show.
Listen, you've got a spot here. Anytime you want to come back. Is because I don't know what we accomplished, but I know I had a whole lot of fun doing it.
When you can't come in one day, I'll shave my beard off and pretend I'm you.
Okay. You're going to make that happen.
It's Bill here.
You know, the facial hair is part of your look, though.
Oh, thanks.
That's going to take a while to rebuild that after you shave it off just to host the Pulse.
No, you know what? I was clean shaven before I walked on.
Yeah?
Yeah, we're Indian people. We grow beards quickly.
Quickly.
I was talking to my Indian friend about it earlier on, and she agreed.
Yeah. All right, before we go, anybody else you want to offend real quick?
I just love your great country, what camera are we on?
Which camera?
This
Stay
one.
Here.
I love your great country, the United States of America. What an honor, and for letting me into your country. I don't know if you work for the
I have no
Social
connection.
Security.
No.
What's the place called that they let me in?
Immigration?
Immigration.
Yeah.
Security. What a great country. I don't know how long we've done, but have we started yet? Have we started record yet? Have we started?
Yeah, like half an hour ago.
Oh, I thought
we end every episode of The Pulse. Yeah. The theme of the show, I don't know where we're going with this.
That's a great.
It's how people use your voice for good. I ask everyone when you hear the phrase, use your voice for good, what does that mean to them?
I use my voice for good because I've got a very bassy, deep voice. I had this voice since I was a kid. Right?
Okay.
So it would confuse people that would phone up the house to speak to my parents or my dad and say, where's your dad? You know, but then I'd pick up the phone, hello? And they thought I was my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like 6, 7 years old because my voice was so deep. So now I have this voice, as you can tell, it's very baritone.
It's rugged and manly.
I'm like the Indian Barry White.
Okay.
So if you want to use my voice, put it on a subwoofer and then sit on the subwoofer, you'll have a great time.
Thank you for coming in. I appreciate it. Paul Chowdhury on The Pulse. Guys, thanks for listening to The Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast today with Paul Chowdhury. And I can tell you that the podcast got a lot more than the TV episode did. So I hope you enjoyed all of this. He's fun, little dangerous, doesn't mind pushing the envelope, but that is always good, especially for a long form conversation. Do me a favor, hit like, follow, subscribe, whatever it is that shows up on your screen so you get a notification every week when another episode of The Pulse comes out. You can download the Fox Local app. All the shows are right there at your fingertips. And you can hit me up on social media at Bill A. Fox 29. Love hearing from you. I leave you today, as I always do, reminding you whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.